You don't have to quit your 9-to-5 to travel the world and travel well. Don't believe me? Then keep listening to the Erica James Travel Show. Erica James is the travel diva who's got you covered. You're about to receive the latest scoop and insider travel secrets and tips that will make your next trip your best trip. Erica isn't only going to inspire you to travel. She's going to make you a better traveler. Now, let's start the show.
What's up, y'all? It's your girl, Erica James, better known as EJ, the Travel Diva, and you are listening to episode number 85 of the Erica James Travel Show. Now, y'all, you know that I don't know hardly anything about keeping family travel fun since I am single with no kids. That's why I have invited Brian Noggle onto the podcast to share his hot tips to keep family travel fun. Brian is not only a psychologist, but he is also a registered nurse that has two kids with his wife, Genevieve, with two boys under the age of 5, y'all, and they are traveling. They are traveling with two kids under the age of 5, and they have real world experiences to share with all of you. So I will get this show started so that you can hear from the expert. Hi, Brian. Welcome to the Erica James Travel Show. I am so happy to have you here and to talk all about family travel, traveling with kids, and letting people know that you can do this. You don't have to wait till your kids get older or a certain age to travel. There are strategies that would help you travel with your kids and keep them entertained. And I'm just glad to have you on the show today to talk about all of that. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
And before we get into it, I really want you to tell us a little bit about yourself, and I know a little bit about yourself and your wife and how you all got into the business, your background, the blanket, okay, all of that kind of good stuff.
So my name is Brian Noggle, and my wife, Genevieve, and I started this baby blanket company a couple of years ago. Neither one of us had much experience in that industry or space. I, by trade, am a registered nurse of 15 years in the emergency room. I do a lot of homeopathic nursing now, some more vitamins and working with people with autoimmune disease and things like that. And then my wife comes from more of an educational background where she does a lot of, she was doing more special needs education for young kids. And when our second born was in the NICU for 2 months, we would leave at night and he wouldn't do very well. And he had been there for a month already. And we found that when we gave him a security object and put my wife's scent on it, that he started to thrive and do really well. So we came up with this blanket idea to do a little lovey. So we launched that in October, and it's been very rewarding and wonderful and a lot of hard work. It was a couple of years in the making. The pandemic slowed us down a little bit. And it's been a fun adventure. And we try to include our kids. I think that's one of the most important things of friends of mine or mentors that have businesses or they're entrepreneurs. You know, they try to include their family and everything and kids and everything. And I think there's teaching moments in all aspects of life. So they're only 3 and 4 years old, but as much as we can include them, we do. And so that's pretty much our day-to-day right now is running the business. I still work as an RN, registered nurse. I have psychology background as well. I don't really do anything with that anymore, but I feel like it still helps me in life in general.
Right. And okay, so before we get into the travel part of the podcast, I definitely wanted to touch on that because that your story was one of the reasons why I reached out to you all, because of that you had a premium. I had mentioned that, you know, my niece, even though she's 25 years old now, but she was a premium. She was in the hospital for 2 months in the NICU. So I totally understand and I get it. And I mean, we were on pins and needles for all that time. And it's kind of hard when you there every day, you leave them there and, you know, you got to leave, you come back and you check on them. And that's why the blanket idea just totally resonated with me. So I was like, man, that would have been a good idea back, you know, in the day when my niece was there for 2 months until she got up to like 4 pounds to be able to leave the hospital. She was born 1 pound, 13 ounces. And so I totally get where y'all are coming from.
Yeah, it's a very trying experience. And we cling to our faith and each other and our family, and that got us through it. But when we came out the other end, I always try and take these experiences as a testimony and how we can help other people. And that was kind of at the core of this business and our story. And so then we kind of ran with that. And how can we make this a little bit different than some of the products that are out there? So like our blankets are black and white patterns. They're all copywritten patterns that we've gotten copyrights and trademarks on. And those, you know, that was purposeful because children, babies don't see any color for the first 6 to 8 months. And then we use special lower microfibers because some of the blankets that are out there everybody wants this big plushy, they call it minky fabric. And so those can be prone to mildew and mold and things like that. So we try to keep ours moisture wicking and some of these things, because we noticed with the ones that we had for our kids, they were always getting like, they smell, you know, cause they start teething and they gnaw on them and they get stinky. So even after washing them, that was very purposeful as well. And then we liked the idea of having a book go with it, because our kids at bedtime, one of our mottos, our taglines for our business is ease the transition from bath time to bedtime. Cause as parents, at the end of the day, we're exhausted. The kids are tired. We're really just trying to wind them down to get to bed. And we found that the books and the blankets and the security object were all part of that bedtime routine. And it really, the kids started to thrive on it. And any parent will tell you, if the children are sleeping well, then the household's happy. And the parents get sleep.
Yes, indeed. Okay, so how did you all transition from, or was it a transition even, from having the blanket and helping the kids and the book to getting into helping families travel with their kids? Because you said your kids are what, 3 and 4 now?
3 and 4, yeah.
Okay.
I've always had a passion for travel. My first time abroad was in my 20s. I had saved up $5,000 and I had a backpack, and I hopped on a one-way ticket to Dublin, and I spent 3 months in Europe backpacking and staying in hostels, and I was by myself and I had some friends that I met along the way. It's a very social environment in these youth hostels. And I was able to go to 17 countries and 50 cities. It was a new experience. I grew up in California and I'd been to Mexico and Canada, but never outside of the US. So I kind of got the bug, and then I came home with Australia, and I spent most of my 20s kind of traveling. And then when my wife and I met, it's always kind of kept that passion. You know, with day-to-day life responsibilities and a family to support, we don't get to travel to that extent as much anymore. But my wife is from the East Coast. I'm from the West Coast. So a lot of her family's on the East Coast. So even when the boys were really little, 6 months old, we were traveling to go see family in Maryland and Florida, and my brothers in Colorado. So there's really two kinds of travel, I think, for little ones is either, I mean, obviously car or plane. We don't have a lot of extensive trains here, but the preparation for plane versus car is mentally, physically, everything is so much different.
Yeah. And so I was going to ask that. I did have one of those questions written down about the plane versus car, but let me back up so you were doing some major traveling, because I think a lot of people probably listen to this podcast episode. They started off traveling the world by themselves, doing, you know, like you're saying, backpacking, you're saying things, you're by yourself, and which sometimes makes you feel like, I'm one of those people like, you know, no, I don't want any kids because I don't want to change my lifestyle. However, you have people that have that lifestyle that are thinking, will I be able to continue to do the same traveling that I did with kids? But you have managed to, you know, transition into that, bringing your kids along with you when you travel. Did you ever have those thoughts in the beginning, like, oh, all my travel is going to stop because I'm having kids?
100%. Absolutely. I'm an avid surfer. So a lot of my travel was always around surfing, whether it be, I've been to Indonesia several times and Japan and El Salvador and other parts of Central America, Panama. And I always thought having kids would hinder that. Not that I didn't ever want kids. I've always wanted kids, but I'd seen people around me, other like-minded families that were doing it, and they always included them. And it just looks different. I mean, there is a spirituality to traveling by yourself and fending for yourself and doing all that. And there's a lot of character that's built and self introspection that's experienced traveling like that. But I think traveling with the family is different for me because now I have someone to share it with. So right. I'm excited, you know, to plan trips and go back to places that I've already been to, because I feel like I'm redoing the whole experience all over, just different. Exactly. It's like almost like I'm there for the first time again.
I love that. Yeah, because, you know, that's why I try to tell people, you can go to the same place more than one time with different people, and it's a totally different experience. So yeah. I get that, you know, you're experiencing it in a total different way with your family.
100%. We haven't ventured out of the country yet, but we're very fortunate here in the U.S. I mean, there's so many amazing things to see. Every state is almost like its own country, I feel like. So we try to keep it simple right now, but I'm excited to, when they get of age, to where we can do some camping and some, you know, mm-hmm. go to a lot of the national parks, and we like to hike as a family and some things like that. And I think it's all about creativity and resourcing and researching. And we're very fortunate these days to have the internet as a resource. When I was a kid, you'd have to go to the library and you had to do what's called talking to other people, which is, which is so foreign these days, you know, like finding out where other people went or going and asking questions. But nowadays we can do a lot more research in a shorter period of time with the resources that we have, which is nice. You know, you can read blogs and things like yourself or you're putting out there, which is so valuable. And it does make it nice, but it's fun to get creative, and it doesn't have to be extravagant. It could be something right. as just like going out. Like, we get our kids, they're only 3 and 4, so it doesn't take much to get them excited. I mean, I could take them to PetSmart and they think you would have thought I took them to on a safari or something.
I know exactly what you mean. I have a niece and nephew, and when they were little, you just made me think of a funny story. When they were little, I told them we were going on a trip, and we really went to, like, well, if you're from Nashville, everyone knows, like, we went from like East Nashville to Opryland. We drove around a little while, like a good 30 minutes around, and we checked into a hotel. They really thought they were like somewhere, you know, yeah. exciting. It was just a hotel in another part of town, and they really thought they were out of town. So when they're little, like you said, it doesn't take much to get them excited.
No. And that's fun. I mean, and there's always plenty to do, plenty to see. And that keeps it fresh.
Right. It keeps it fresh. And so, you know, since the pandemic, a lot of people have really limited themselves, and they really have started enjoying road trips and getting out and seeing the, you know, US 48, and I'm minus in the 2 because you can't drive, but, you know, really getting out, seeing the US 48 and enjoying what our country has to offer. But, you know, some people are like, oh my God, they dread, like, okay, I got to get in the car with the kids. But you really have some helpful tips and stuff on how to keep, you know, the kids interested in and not being bored and not driving the parents crazy in the car. And when you're driving and traveling, that I was hoping that you can share with us.
Yeah, for us, for road travel, I think obviously planning, that's the best thing you can do, and bring as much stuff as you can for them to play with in the car, and the tablets and the technology make it nice nowadays, because when they get of age, you can really just stick them in front of a tablet and excuse me one sec, you know, they'll watch movies and shows. There's a lot of good appropriate content out there nowadays, which makes it nice. You know, and then getting there again, we get them excited. We keep them. I think communication is fun when they get to that age. When they're really little, they might just sleep. You know, we would travel mm-hmm. with our 6-month-old. We'd take them to Florida, Maryland, across country. We'd try and take a red eye flight. We don't sleep. So mentally, we're already prepared for that. We're like, all right, he's going to sleep on the plane. They're so small, they kind of just sleep in between you. It's more when they get to that toddler age where they constantly have to be having activities. So you're mm-hmm. having to bring all this stuff with you. I had a friend tell me once that be careful what you introduce at bedtime, whether it be sound machines and lights and all this stuff, because when you travel, you have to take all that stuff with you.
Never thought of that. That's a good point.
So we try and keep it simple with bedtime. But as far as the car trips, the kids are like 3 and 4 years old is a good age, even like 2.5, 3, where they start communicating and they're verbal, where you can include them and let them know, okay, this is, they don't really have much of a perspective on time, but you can mm-hmm. include it as much as you can and say, okay, this is what's, we're going to be in the car for the next hour. Then we're going to stop and, you know, we'll get some food. And we try and that's on the road. We're like, all right, fast food. It's, you know, it's everything goes out the window. You know, we try to keep it fresh and fun for them, get them treats and things like that along the way. And yeah, just make it fun, make it exciting. And there's always going to be those times, but I think as a parent, if you're mentally prepared for it, and then we always try to take along, you know, staying hydrated for us and trying to keep good nutrition and snacks in the car for the parents to stay sane.
Yeah, exactly. Now, yeah. When you say like bring as much entertainment and in things as possible, now is your packing for your car different from your packing if you're getting on the plane?
Yes and no. Like on the planes, I mean, in the car, you're not having to lug all that stuff through the airport and from a parking structure and, you know, all that stuff over to into a shuttle and you're trying to squeeze it all into a suitcase. So on an airplane, we might take more toys that we're not worried about losing. So the 99-cent store, Dollar Tree type toys, we'll bring a huge backpack full of that stuff. And I know those toys aren't going to last very long. Maybe for the car ride, we're going to take their favorite toys and that just stays in the car, things like that. And then little games we've researched along the way, you know, find this, we play I Spy and all this different stuff. And, you know, what, try and find this color car, that color car. Our 4-year-old loves to learn about all the places we go to. Like we went to Las Vegas for some work event and we stopped at the Hoover Dam and he was talking about it all week at preschool when he got home. Yeah. And then he talked about it the week after that. Like, so the teacher was confused, thought he went to Hoover Dam 2 weeks in a row. You know, because it's like a 4-hour trip. And that's exciting, you know, when you can in educate them and teach them. And so they learn all about it rather than just being in the car sleeping. But I think routine's important too. So we try our best to keep them on similar routine that we have at home as far as nap schedules and meals and things like that. I think that's important. Because kids over time will show you if they're off routine, it's usually going to come out in their behavior. Or if you give them too much of one thing, like too much sugar or something, it's like, just pay attention to the behavior and then you'll see on the other side. I have family that have older kids and they forget what it was like because they're like, well, just have them miss their nap. I'm like, okay, we can try that, but it's not going to be a good afternoon if we do that.
Right, right. So yeah, that is a good idea to think about. Keep them on their regular schedule and incorporate the naps in there. So will you recommend like making a schedule for your travel? Like we're going to do this pre-nap and then this post-nap.
100%. And we're not like super organized with this stuff. I mean, it's a lot of it's impromptu. It's just stuff we've learned, but you know, we try to have like a packing list. So that's something my wife's in charge of and she's fine tuned that over the years. And it's going to look different for every family and every kid, but like, you know, things that she knows that we're going to pack and bring. So everything, you know, cause the first couple times you do it, oh shoot, I should have brought that. Or you learn along the way, or, you know, that was a good idea or that didn't work. We didn't need to bring that. The same thing happened to me when I traveled backpacking my first time to Europe. I brought so much stuff with me that I didn't need. I ended up sending a big package home when I was in France of stuff that I like, why would I even think to bring that? And then I think you learn over time as well how much stuff that you don't need. I think that's what's liberating about travel, whether it be with a family or by yourself or in a car, an airplane. It's very liberating to know that we don't need all this extra stuff that we have. I think travel is what did that for me, is that liberating part.
I totally agree. It's like after a couple of, you know, travel and trips and things like that, you eventually learn what you need, what you don't, what's your favorite things to travel with. And like you said, so now your wife has like that checklist. She knows what works, what doesn't work. So that's really good for families to try and pay attention, you know, when you first start traveling with your kids on what works, what doesn't work, what you need, what you don't need. And then, you know, maybe jot it down, keep you a little spreadsheet or something on your computer and keep adding and subtracting from it and get better at, you know, traveling with your kids.
Yeah. And then we try to like, if we do stop at a rest stop or gas station or something, like I'll let them go in and pick little treats out. I mean, the more you keep them excited about that thing, sometimes they have a really short attention span, but those things are helpful. And then for airplane travel, I think for the little ones, like I was saying before, the red eye flights are a little bit easier because at least you can try and get them to sleep. I know a lot of parents will give Benadryl and things like that to kind of help sleep or motion. There's a lot of like Dramamine and things for motion sickness that'll help. That has more of a makes the child sleepy. But there's a lot of good natural stuff out there. I know there's some families that are anti-medications and things like that, but there's a lot of good natural supplements and things that we use for sleep that have amino acids and things for like magnesium that kind of will make the child a little sleepy. So we made the mistake once of giving that in the airport and then the flight got delayed. So our four-year-old, he was three, I think, at the time, but he ended up, they kind of reset. So they're awake, mm-hmm. but they're sleepy and they're cranky and they act like, they don't even act like your child anymore.
Right. That definitely happened to me one time. I took my sleep meds before my flight, and now I learned to don't take it until you actually get on the flight because it was delayed for me as well. But yeah. I do recall that you mentioned like in your tips that bring natural common remedies for yourself. So you're saying as well as your kids as well. So are there some that you recommend for the adults and the children as well that are natural remedies for people who don't want to give their kids anything funky extra?
There's a few really good sleep stuff. There's some stuff out there for relaxation and sleep that are all natural. They're just L-theanine is a really good amino acid that's relaxing. It's safe. It's, you know, it's naturally occurring in food. Magnesium is another good one. These are all safe. And their kids' formulas. They're specifically mm-hmm. for that. GABA, G-A-B-A is another one. It's a naturally occurring amino acid that's in a lot of foods that we eat. So these are in a lot of supplements. You can find at CVS, at Amazon, all different places. But for the parents, I think for us, I just, a lot of it's just your headspace, where you're at mentally before you do something. It's like, I don't set my expectations too high and I just try to keep an open mind. I think that's important and make sure I get sleep the days leading up to it, knowing that I probably won't get that same amount of sleep. And I think that keeps nerves calm and my patience and tolerance will be a lot greater. The self-care is important. My wife and I are big on that. Not just like, it's like if we don't give enough for ourselves, then we're not any good for our kids. So mm-hmm. it's easy to run yourself thin. And over time, you get your patience is short, your tolerance is short. And just traveling alone. I mean, you know what, all the things that you go through in an airport and that's just by yourself. You're doing it with kids. So, I mean, again, we live in a time where this is such a, there's so many resources. There's so many little tricks and tips and things like there's inflatable little pillow things you can get for your kids on an airplane that it almost literally extends the seat so your little one can lay flat and it almost makes like a little bed. It's like a cube that you blow up mm-hmm. and it goes where the leg space would be. And then we like to travel with our little blankets and stuff, the Frankie Dean blankets and the books. That's another reason why we didn't make them too large, because you don't want to bring a massive stuffed animal on a plane. So that security object's important. I mean, we have these little blankets and books. I mean, they're only like 5 inches by 7.5 inches, really light. It's like a little board book. And then the blankets, just a little lovey blanket. So that's one of the things that through this project, we learned so much about how important security objects were, comfort objects. I mean, me having a psychology background and always worked in healthcare, I see even as adults, there's so many things that we'll gravitate to a comfort object. So and a lot of times it's subconscious. We don't even realize it. You know, some of them are really good. We have security objects and some of them can be not great, you know, whether it be phone or drinking or things like that, that people that with times of stress, they'll gravitate toward, but that's what we help. That's helped us with the kiddos is having the little blankets for them to bring on the plane, just like at bedtime. So we get mm-hmm. them in their jammies at the airport and then we bring them on the plane and give them their little blanket and their little book and whatever toys and stuff that they want.
Okay. I like that. And yeah, I think if we really stop and think about it as adults, we do have those security things. Like I have a particular t-shirt that I take with me on every single trip. It has to be in my suitcase for every single trip. And, you know, my little shawl on the plane. It's not a blanket, but it's a little shawl that I feel comfortable with. So I can understand, you know, as adults packing your security stuff. And as kids, you know, the packing your security blanket, your Frankie Dean blanket, to make you feel really comfortable. So I totally understand that. And so, you know, I want to touch on, you mentioned about self-care for the adults when they're traveling with the kids, because that helps you with traveling with the kids. So when it comes to like self-care and you're traveling with your kids the whole extent of the trip, do you make time for just you and your wife alone, or your kids are with you all the time? What do you recommend, or what's your tips on that?
I mean, it's difficult to do sometimes if you're not traveling with family or they're not of age, right, to where they can kind of, what, one's older can watch each other, you know, so they're not at an age now at 3 and 4 for us to leave them alone. So we're pretty much including the kids in everything. But when they go to sleep, I mean, we'll try and, like, they eat pretty early. I don't really eat at 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. I mean, so if we get them dinner, maybe we'll plan something where we'll get room service later, watch a movie. If we're staying in a hotel or something like that, yeah. If we're traveling to where we have relatives or family, then absolutely. We still try and stay on a schedule of like, okay, like at home here, we try to have a date night and things, ideally once a week, but sometimes it's every couple weeks. We'll do things like that, or experiencing something new where we're traveling to, whether it be a hike or go get a massage or something together. I think that's important. I mean, just because you travel doesn't mean you can't. I mean, it's about experiencing things. But right. Then I see some people that want every single comfort from home and they don't want to experience anything new. It's just like they want exactly what they have at home, but just in a different place. For me, that's not what travel is about. I think it's about like keeping an open mind. And part of that process of being uncomfortable and being in situations that you normally wouldn't be in, but figuring out, it's frustrating. And that's the sense of wonder and adventure and it's not always fun and smiles. I mean, it can be very frustrating but the more I've done it, the more experience you get feeling uncomfortable like that, I think you get better at it. And you realize that it's not such a bad feeling. It's actually kind of fun because you can kind of improvise and learn from it and let go. Like, you know, like we don't have that sense of control that we have at home. Like you can't travel and have that sense of control. You'll drive yourself nuts.
Yes, that is so great that you said that. Like, I mean, people do when they travel, they want that comfort of home when they travel. And I agree, that's not what travel is about. I mean, it's when you don't have those comforts from home that you start to learn more about yourself, what the world has to offer, and you get to know yourself a little better, your strengths, your weaknesses, and what you need to improve on in life. It makes you a better person.
Very humbling.
Yes, very humbling. Yes.
It is.
Yes. So you have given us some really good tips. I really, truly have enjoyed the information that you've given us about, you know, traveling with your kids, incorporating them into travel. It's changing your life and your travel style, and especially about the Frankie Dean blanket and the book. Can you tell us where people can find out more about the book? Tell us a little bit more about the book, where they can get the blanket, where they can find you and follow you for more tips and information.
Thank you so much for that. So our social media is all at Frankie Dean Kids, and all the blankets can be purchased either on our website at frankie-dean.com. So it's frankie-dean.com. And then we're also on Amazon, and then we're at many wholesale distributors across the country, places that I just pop up, you know, all over, that we have little boutiques and places like that. We're on a website called fair.com. So it's for wholesale retailers and people that have little boutiques and shops. So that's always fun. We're in some of the larger retailers, and, you know, some exciting things to come over the next 6 to 12 months. We're having some conversations with some really big retailers. So you'll hopefully see more of us. The books actually coincide with each blanket. So we have like a toucan. Sunny the Toucan is the toucan's name. And the book is all about Sunny the Toucan. And then we have one about, that's Ollie the goat from Switzerland. And the Billy Goat, the whole book is about Ollie and his mom and the adventures that they did throughout the day. They're just little bedtime books. They're not super long for parents, because at the end of the day, sometimes kids will pick, have a tendency to pick really long books.
Yeah.
But so that's where we're at. And we also do a lot of the trade shows, and we're involved in a few different charities. One is called Miracles for Kids here in California. That's one of the things that really is near and dear to our hearts, is giving back. And then we link up with Children's Hospital of Los Angeles and Orange County. We try to do some charity work for those places as well. So really just giving back. I mean, that's the goal of our whole mm-hmm. business motto, is giving back to a lot of the families and parents that are going through what we went through. That it's very hopeless when you're going through it. But yes. but if you meet somebody that's been through it, I think that's how the best way to get through life, you know, yes, getting your strength exactly. from somebody else. You don't, maybe don't have it at the time.
Right. Knowing that you're not alone and everything under the sun has been done. So you're not alone. And there's always somebody out there that has been through what you've been through that you can lean on.
Absolutely.
I truly appreciate you, Brian. Thank you for that. And for all the listeners, everything that Brian has mentioned, as always, will be in the show notes on ericajamestravel.com. We'll put all the links to where you can follow him, where you can check out the blanket, the book, and anything that he's mentioned that you are interested in helping out or contributing or donating and just being a part of this movement will be in the show notes.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Brian. All right. I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Brian Noggle and his hot tips on how to keep family travel fun and interesting. All the important resources and information mentioned in this episode can be found in the show notes that are located on ericajamestravel.com. Thank you, as always, for listening all the way through. Make sure you are following both me and Brian on Instagram. Search for EJ the Travel Diva, follow me, and tag me in a story, and let me know your thoughts about episode number 85. Let me know what was the best tip that Brian gave to you that's going to be a game changer when you travel with your kids. Remember, follow me on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter by searching EJ the Travel Diva.